In 2003, I had the privilege of speaking at a leadership conference in Cyprus, and I met Pastor Salim at that conference. About a year and a half later, I was invited again to the conference in the Middle East, and Cyprus, in case you don't know where it is, it's an island in the Mediterranean, and you will find it in your Bibles because it's where the Apostle Paul began his missionary journeys. And there at the conference, we gathered Christian leaders from various Middle East countries, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, and we threw in Israel just to make it interesting. And what a conference it was, and what a fantastic opportunity. And the Christian leaders who were there were mandated to go and take the teachings that they had received and take them to 100 other people. And so multiplication of the ministry. So your willingness to send me was a multiplication event, and we always appreciate that so much, and that's what we do. Salim is the pastor of the Home of Jesus, the King Church, Nazareth, Israel. And he is an Arab who ministers in a predominantly Muslim town, in a Jewish country, in the city of a very famous person, who I think you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you imagine having the mandate of following along as a pastor in Jesus' town? That's what he gets to do. And then last year, about 45 of us from Calvary were able to go to his church and enjoy a service of the Lord's table together. We pastored together in communion. Our deacon, we had some deacons with us, so we shared deacons, and we shared the elements. We shared a message from God's Word. And can they worship? Your church is an amazing church. And they lift the roof off, and we found that it was just spectacular. We didn't have a clue what you were doing, but we knew it was for Jesus, hallelujah. And we're excited about it.
Amen.
And it was fantastic. So it's a place of complex politics and prejudices and a very, very challenging place to minister, as you can imagine. And I thought that it would be tremendous. The Lord laid on my heart that it would be tremendous to bring Pastor Salim here because he knows something about reaching people blinded by the lies of the enemy. So would you give a great big Calvary welcome to this dear brother, Pastor Salim Shalash.
Thank you. Sabah al-khair.
Good morning.
Ismi al-Asis Salim Shalash. Ismi al-Asis Salim Shalash.
His name is Pastor Salim Shalash.
Ana min madinat al-Nasri.
I am in Nazareth.
أنا ولدت وكبرت في مدينة الناصري مدينة الرب يسوع المسيح.
I was born and grew up in the city of our Lord Jesus Christ.
أنا سعيد أن أكون معكم في هذا المؤتمر.
And I'm happy to be at this conference with you. أهلاً وسهلاً في إلكس سليم شلاش.
We are welcoming Pastor Salim Shalash between us.
Shukran, Lihu Dorak.
Thank you for your coming to share with us this conference.
You can speak English?
I will try.
Oh, I'll leave you then. All right. God bless you.
Oh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I preach in the morning at 9 o'clock, and I've heard that they already recorded the first preaching. So I will not preach the same, because all of you can see it in your website. So you will have different, you know, preaching. So I'll preach something else this morning. But before I preach, I'll say a little bit about myself. By the way, you need to know that I would start with a nice story I've heard once about a woman. She was visiting her doctor, and she was blaming her husband. She said to the doctor, I have a problem with my husband. They said, what is your problem? She said, he speaks all the night. Even while he's sleeping, he speaks all the time. What I can do for him? The doctor looked at her and said, give him a chance to speak in the daytime so he will not speak at night. And because I'm not allowed to speak at home, so my wife suggests to be a pastor so you can speak all over. Really happy to be with you this morning in this freezer called Canada. And you know, I recognize how warm our refrigerator is. And I'm so happy, really, to share the word of God. But before, you need to know who is this man and what Salim is doing. I'm born and I grew in a Catholic family. You know, my father is a religious man. He wanted me to become a priest. He put me inside the church. For 5 years, I was serving with the priest. After 5 years, I said, if this is God, I don't want him. I left the church. I lived my own life. I studied in the Hebrew University as a travel agent. I continue my studies as a hotel manager in Holiday Inn School, and I was a policeman for 4 years. And on the 6th of August, 1994, something happened, changed all my life. And on this day, I lost one of my friends. She was a believer, and a big truck full with iron fall on her small car, and we can't take her out, so she was burned alive. A lot of questions come to my mind on that moment. What is after death? Because she's just 19 years old. No one have confirmation that to live 100 years. While I'm asking all these questions, I heard a voice speaking to me directly, said, Salim, someone died, new one will born. Didn't understand what that meant, to born again. And for my first time, I have my own Bible. Because in the Catholic Church, I'm not allowed to read the Gospels because I'm not holy enough. And to have my own Bible, I was so thirsty for the Word of God. I was reading just the New Testament, because I've been taught also that the Old Testament, it's a rubbish book. It doesn't belong to us as Christians, but it's just history for the infidel Jews. And all the time I'm reading the New Testament until, you know, God put my heart to study theology, and I start to study my BA theology in Bethlehem Bible College. I continue my first master in the Israeli College of the Bible, ICB. There was a big change on this study because we were 12 Arab pastors and 12 Jewish pastors. I mean pastor, Jewish pastor, he believed in Jesus, called Messianic. And I was shocked. 12 and 12, that reminds me something. Tribes of Israel, disciples of Jesus, together in the same place. God, why do you want to teach me? And for 1 year, 2 years, we've been together, studying together, eating together, sleeping together. Not the wrong way that you understand, sleeping, spending time, you know, it's intensive courses in hotels. So we become friends. And I ask God, what you want to teach me, Lord? Why are you putting me with these people? And through the preach that I preach in the morning, Luke 15, God opened my eyes to love this nation and to stop hating them, because we grow with this hatred. And God teach me that reaching every nation in the world, that is our mission. We are living in a blessed country called Israel. What you hear in the media, it's all lies. There, you know, still Christian in Israel for one reason, that we still protected by the Israeli government. If not, you will not find any one of us there. What I mean, that we are very blessed to live in this country. And what you hear in the media, it's all really fake news. If I want to see a comedy film, I just go to Europe or to US and watch the news at 8 o'clock. Because it's all lies. And really, if you want to know more, because our time is limited, you know, and Pastor Rick give me 40 minutes, he will not be generous than me. I will give him 40 minutes, so I got 80. Really, it's an honor to be here. And really, if you want to hear more about me, you can just watch the morning time session. I speak about myself, but I don't know, I felt that God is putting my heart to speak about something very important, about four levels of relation with God. And it's going to be from Exodus. Why I'm saying that? When God opened my eyes to read the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament, it's not by accident. Every name has been given in the Old Testament have a meaning. If you read the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is two Hebrew words, Nehemiah, that means God have mercy. What's connected to the book of Nehemiah? God have mercy and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The book of Habakkuk, prophet of Habakkuk, Habakkuk, its Hebrew words mean Hebuk. Hebuk is mean hugging. God hugs. God wants to tell Habakkuk that I'm still hugging you. Don't worry, you are not alone. Every name was mentioned in the Old Testament had a meaning. And if you read Genesis 5, I'll give it to you as a challenge this morning. It's the most boring chapter in the Bible with all these names from Seth to Noah. But there is a message through the names. From Seth to Noah. If you want to know it, just meet me after the meeting. And I will just have the time, really, to share the word of God. To share with you what God talked to me about these four levels in Exodus 33. And through this journey, we will jump to Ezekiel and we will jump to the New Testament. And you will understand that we have one Bible, one book called the Bible. We don't have Old and New Testament. We have one book and you can't divide it. And some people say, Pastor, but the God in the Old Testament is harsh and tough. And the God in the New Testament is God of mercy. How could be something like that? I said to him, I agree with you. But if you go home, please take out the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation, God will come to judge. And he will come the same way that he was in the Old Testament. We need to understand that it's time for mercy, but one day the door will be closed. And through this preaching in this morning, you need to understand that God put you in one of these four levels, and you need to discover which level you are standing. And because of the time, I will not read all the chapter, but you will go through the verses. When I say the verses, just write it down. And at home, you go following reading these verses. Exodus 33, the first three verses, God is talking to Moses and telling Moses, Moses, listen to me. I'll be with you. I will send my angels to protect you. I will make miracles between your people. I will give healing and protection. But I will not be in the middle. The first three verses. God is speaking to Moses very clearly. And this level, I call it baby level. Okay? Baby level. Why baby level? It's the level when we accept the Lord as Savior, when we have a new relation with God, when you have accepted the Lord, you know, as a Savior, and we understand it's a baby level. That's good. No problem with this level. But the problem, if you're stuck on this level, many of us don't want to grow. This is the problem of our churches. We want to come and we don't want to grow because growing, bringing more responsibilities. And if you are asking for new anointing for your spiritual life, don't ask God before you make sure that you will stand on the responsibilities that God will give you. And this level, it's like a baby level. You know what that means. You know, when we accept the Lord as our beginning of our life, when we need anything, you know, the baby, when he needs anything, he just, wah, and all of us run. Maybe he's hungry, maybe he needs to change, maybe, I don't know what, but he don't speak, he just cry. And many believers in the beginning of their life, when they accept the Lord as a Savior, everything, Pastor, can you pray for our cat? Pastor, can you pray for my wife? Pastor, can you pray for our car? Pastor. Like, you know, the pastor is the Superman, that he have no problems, everything is okay with him. He is not human, he's spiritual creation. No, it's not. He's man, like me, like you. I just want you to imagine, okay? Sliman is here. You know my son. Stand up, Sliman. Stand up, okay? I want you to imagine Sliman going to the university next year with a bottle of milk. You're laughing. Why? Because it's not acceptable. Thank you, Sliman. You can sit down. Why it's not acceptable? Because he grow. No more milk. He's past this level. But many of believers, they want to stay in this level. God said, I will do everything with you, but that's not the level that I want you to stay in. I want you to grow. And that, if you compare it or if you match it with Ezekiel 47, you know, all of us know this story about the water. The Bible said that the water arrived to the ankle. This level, what's connected, you know, baby level with the ankle. When our children grow and they start to walk, they start depending their ankle to stand up. And you see your child is growing by seeing an action and he starts walking. That means he's growing. But the problem, if he's not, if I send my son with a bottle of milk to the university, the teachers, they will say two things. Or he's crazy, or his father is crazy. One of them, there's something wrong. And many would like to stay. Why? You need to understand that the devil cheat us and deceive us in many ways. He will say to you, you will grow automatically. Don't worry. It's a big lie. No one grows automatically. I want you who have babies, don't give him food for 10 days. What will happen? He will die. Nothing comes automatically. You need to grow by eating and drinking the Word of God. When you grow, that means you understand the Word of God and you start to eat from the Word of God. That level, it's very important in your life, because if you just ignore it and you stay in this level, you'll never grow. This kind of level, if we compare it in the New Testament, in Mark 9:24, you know, this father that he was shouting to Jesus to heal his son, he said to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. What Jesus said to him? He said these words, oh, faithless generation. Because Jesus knows that in this level, our faith is almost zero. But we need to grow. This level, if you're stuck in, you will worship the golden calf. If you are stuck on this level, you will stay 40 years in the wilderness. If you stay on this level, you will be in captivity of the devil all your life. Because he can't control babies. Babies don't know how to defend themselves. They need mama. Don't stay on the baby level. God said to Moses, I will be with you. I'll do miracles. But I will not be in the middle. There is a level higher than the first level. The second level, in the same chapter, Exodus 33 and verse 7. And it's talking about, God is talking to Moses. And says, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And they called it a tent of meeting. That means if I just change some words, I can call it the church. You know, many wise people said, I don't need church. I'm okay. I can pray in my house. Listen to me. You are not more wise than Jesus. If Jesus said, I will build my church, that means church is part of your life. There are three altars in your life. You can't ignore any one of them. Personal altar, it's between you and God. When Jesus said, get into your room, pray for your, close your door, and pray for your Father in heaven. That is the roots. No one see it, but the roots bring all the food for the tree. If your personal altar is done and destroyed, you will not grow. The second altar, it's, you know, the how, the family altar. The family altar, that what Joshua said, for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord. That what we do every morning, our family at 7 o'clock, all of us, me and my wife and my two children, we sit down, we read the Word of God, we have a box with verses from the Bible, we choose four of them, and we choose the verse of the day, and it's in the refrigerator all the day. Why in the refrigerator? Because we eat a lot. So we can repeat the Word of God. You know, you must be taught to repeat the Word of God, because the war is spiritual war. And you need the Word of God to fight. And the last altar is the church. We can't ignore any one of them. You know, God says to Moses, who want more relation with me, he leave the camp. That what you're doing now in this coming three days, you know, you are leaving everything and you're coming to the conference. You spend time with the Lord. You know, we have, the problem is we are now addicted to our cell phones. This is one of the real problems that we are facing. So, you know, for me and my family, we decided that while we're eating, no cell phones on the table. It's in the room. Why? We want time with the Lord. We want time really to focus. Because when it's ding, ding, all of us want to know who's sending. What's happening? This is the problem. You know, many times, if we want to grow to the next level, it's the time that, you know, we are growing to become prayer man, prayer woman. That means we are in higher level than the first one. Many of us, we put the plans for God and we said, God, bless my plans. Maybe it's not his plans. He knows the future more than me and you. Why you didn't say, God, put for me your plans and I will follow your instructions? You know, there's two persons working, paving, you know, roofs. And they were invited to fix one of the roofs. And when they arrived at the building, it was 40 floors, and the elevator is not working. And one said to the other, what we do? He said, we can't do anything, just we go through the stairs. And for 30 minutes, they're going all the stairs. And when they reach the top, they sat down, tired, exhausted. One hugged the other and said, I have two news for you. One is good and one is bad. He said, okay, start with the good one. He said, the good one, we reached the roof. He said, hallelujah. What's the bad news? He said, the bad news, we are in the wrong building. Many of us do the same. We run and we want to serve God and we want and we want and we want. Suddenly we discover that this is not the plan of God. Because we do what we want. Not what God wants. This level, if we connect it to Ezekiel 47 and verse 4, it's the power of prayer. You know how important your prayers is. You know, when you arrive to this level, that means it's the house of God, it's the church. The Bible said in Ezekiel 47, 4, that the water arrived to... Come on, guys. Do you have the same Bible that I do? The Bible said that the water arrived to the knees. What that's connected to the church? When I come to the church and I become a man prayer or woman prayer, I start to use my knees to pray, spend hours with the Lord. You know, many of us, we don't spend time with the Lord. We think that prayer doesn't bring anything. If you believe that prayer doesn't bring anything, don't pray. Because you are hurting the Lord. You need to understand the power of prayer. But the problem is that we don't understand the power that comes through prayers. God deal with us in different way that we don't understand. Don't expect that God will behave with you like the others behave with you. How many times the Holy Spirit share with you something that if you share it with people, they say with you, come on. You know, I was reading the story of Elijah. All of us know this story. You know, do you remember what kind of birds God used to feed Elijah? Ravens. Why? You know, the problem is we read our Bible, but we don't ask questions. If you want to make your Bible interesting, start to ask questions. Why ravens? I was searching why God used the ravens to feed Elijah. Anyone know? If anyone know, he will win free trip to Israel from Pastor Rick. I'm sure no one. I will tell you why. I was reading and searching in National Geographic. I found that the ravens, they put the eggs in their nest and they leave. They never feed their children. The only bird never, ever feed their children. And I was asking, so how they survive? I found that when they're out of the eggs, in their nose, there's a material, God give it to them, that attract the insects to eat. When the insects come, stuck on their nose, and they and they eat, and they grow. And when they're strong, they start to fly. Hallelujah. What God wants to say? The bird that he never feed his children, Elijah, I will use him to feed you. It's not the expected thing for us. But if we become a prayer man, a woman, we need to understand that this level need a higher level of faith. That level of faith, we can see it with Peter when he was focusing on Jesus. His eyes was on Jesus. He was walking on the water. Suddenly, when he just moved his face from Jesus, looking to the circumstances around him, he started to sink. But Jesus never left him. He raised him up. He said to him, although little faith, why did you doubt? In this level, we need to understand that we need a higher level of faith. Everything you leave it will die. Just the Bible. If you leave it, you will die. We need to understand that in this level, we need to grow. Everything come with prayers. Do you know what is the important meeting in our church? Not the main meeting. Not the preaching. By the way, brother, I'm jealous from your team, from all your team. You ask me why? Because in heaven you will be in front, we will be in the back, not teaching and preaching in heaven. They're just worshiping. When I said to my wife, my voice is all what I have, she said, poorness is not shameful. What I want to say, God wants you to grow to the next level. I don't know which level you are, the first or the second, but there is higher level. In Exodus 33 and verse 11 is talking about one great man. His name is Joshua. And the Bible said his assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Come on, Joshua, everybody went home. Go home. No. I'm not going home. I'm still hungry for the word of God. I want a higher level than the others. You want to be different? You need to have sacrifices to be different. That means more time with the Lord. I can't grow and know God without any relation with him. You know, Joshua know that the time is what not enough. Like everyone, if you want to be different, you spend time more with the Lord. You spend more time with the Lord. That's called, you know, thirsty for the word of God. He was so interested with a higher level. Joshua was different. And, you know, if we connect it to Ezekiel 47 and verse 4, you know, the Bible says that the water arrived to the west. You know, where we put the belt. Why? It's time when I'm going home, when I'm leaving, you know, I use the belt so my pants will not touch, you know, the dirty of the earth. And I will not connect it to the wall. I'm going to serve. I'm going out. That means Joshua is prepared to go serving God. Look what happened. Joshua, in the first chapter, if you read it at home, God is talking to Joshua and said, Joshua, my servant Moses died. What? God, once again, I didn't hear you. What you said? Moses died? But we didn't reach the promised land. Who was going to lead us? We have no leader. You promised us that we will reach the promised land. And now you're telling me that Moses died. Who's going to lead these people? You, Joshua. Do you remember when you asked for a new level? New level is a new responsibility. I want to ask you, which was more difficult, for Moses or for Joshua? All of them passed a very difficult test. The first one was with Moses when he was standing in front of the Red Sea. And the other one, when Joshua was, you know, he wanted to pass Jordan River. Who do you think that was more difficult for him? Moses or Joshua? Are you awake? I am the one that must be tired. I'm still with jet lag, you know. I will tell you, Joshua was more difficult than Moses. You will ask why. When Moses was standing in front of the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his soldier in the back, the sea in front, he's shouting to the Lord, a miracle happened, people pass, worship God. Amen. Joshua, standing in front of the Jordan River, praying for God for a miracle, nothing happened. God says to Joshua, when you take a step of faith and the feet of who carrying the Ark of the Covenant will touch the water, the miracle will happen. That's the level that you are in. God wants to see a step of faith. You need to have a step of faith so God will do the miracle. When he see your heart, when he see your desire, he will do a miracle. I can see a lot of miracles. If I want to share, we have almost 3 continuous days just sharing what God is doing in the church. Cancer healing. 3 persons with cancer healed. We have a woman, she came crying to me. She's one of our members. And they told her that she has 2 babies and 2 of them is Down syndrome. And she must abort them. She must take them out to kill. And we were praying. And you know, when we have challenges like that, I shared with all the church with message for fasting and praying for 3 days, continuous. And after 3 days, she came to me and she said, Pastor, I feel peaceful. If God wants me to give me, he wants to give me this girl's Down syndrome, I accept that. And when she gave birth, both of them, wonderful 2 angel girls, nothing with Down syndrome to do. This is God that still do miracles. If he say, step of faith. Joshua was sure 100% it's time to serve. He didn't understand that taking this step of faith means more responsibilities. And if we compare it to Matthew 15 and verse 28, you know, about this woman that came to Jesus, you know, the Canaanite woman, she was crying to the Lord. And he said, Jesus to this woman, oh woman, great is your faith. That level needs great faith. Which level you are standing? Are you staying in the baby level? Or you become a prayer man or prayer woman? Or you are going to be a leader? in the church. Many of us, they don't want because it's a lot of work to do. But I will tell you what. You will feel sorry for every minute that you didn't spend serving God. He's coming back soon. He will tell you, I died on the cross for you, what you did for me. Don't tell me I have nothing to do. Everyone in the church has something to do. In our church, no watchers. And really, I'm telling Pastor Rick, there is a lot of things I need to be learned from this church. I thank God because, you know, I know that God bring me here to bless you with the preaching, but I'm blessed with a lot of things that God is giving me to be back to bless the church also in Nazareth. And we would like to see you with us, even if Pastor Rick pay all the costs. I'm sorry, Pastor. Okay, we continue about the third level. It's level of challenge that we need to understand that it's time to serve God. The fourth level. It's on verse 18. Moses said, please show me your glory. Moses, come on. What are you talking about? What glory you want to see? All what you saw. What God did with Pharaoh and his soldiers, all the miracles in the desert, water from the rock, and you know, they eat. Do you know what mean manna? Do you know the manna that the Israelis eat in the desert? Do you know what mean manna? Manna mean what is it? What you will have for breakfast? What is it? What you will have for lunch? What is it? With all that, Moses, what you saw God is doing in your life, you're still asking God to show your glory. That means you want to see God. Moses, do you know what that means? That means no one see God and still alive. Moses said, that is my desire. I want to see him and die. That's all my desire. That's all I want. That's all I want. You know, we behave to God. Sometimes we don't understand his ways. Once we back from the meeting, it was Saturday night. And we just arrived. It was August. And August, it's oven in Israel. We have 42 or 43 degrees. And, you know, thanks to God for the air conditions. At 11 o'clock, you know, my children went to bed. And I'm going to bed. I close, you know, the windows, and I try to turn the air condition on, and it's not working. And I said, God, come on, not now, please. You know, I serve you. I give all my power to preach. I was inspired. Now, please, don't punish me. I didn't do anything wrong. And I start, in the name of Jesus, and I push the bottom on. And not working. I said, okay, maybe you need to speak in tongues. We will try. And I do all the things to turn it on, and it's not turning on. I said, God, why are you doing that for me? And I was so angry. And my wife, you know, my wife is different from me. I'm getting angry so quickly. And she came to me and said, Salim, it's okay. Just open the windows. Use the fans. Tomorrow we will fix it. I said, okay. We opened the windows, and we used the fans, and we went to bed. Morning at 6 o'clock, my wife woke up, and she smelled a gas in our home. And by mistake, my daughter, she opened the bottom of the gas. And for all the night, two big balloons was emptied in our house. That means if all our house was closed, one of God's servants, his wife and two children will die. The devil tried to kill one family, but the Lord still in control. And he knows how to protect his servants. You know what is the miracle? The miracle that's normally my two children woke up many times for, you know, the bathroom or the toilet. And, you know, they push the bottom. And if they push the bottom, it's going to be big explosion. This night they slept like a baby until the morning. And what happened in the morning? I run to the air conditioner. When I turn it on, it works. That is God. That is God. Moses is saying, show me your glory. Do you want to see God's glory? There is a lot of sacrifices you need to give. You know, you need a higher level of faith. And if we connect it to Ezekiel 47 and verse 5, the Bible said it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim. When you arrive to this level, when you arrive to the level that you want to see the glory of God, and you're going to be in a river that you will not control yourself anymore, you will be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will use you in different ways. The people will say, we can see the glory of God upon your life. Amen. Do you want to arrive to this level? Do you want to reach it really? Or you still don't care? I'm happy with the baby level. You know, when we understand the ways of God, you know, I like this. I've heard this story. When Joseph from Ramah took the body of Jesus and buried it in his grave, and he went back, his wife was so angry. She said, how could you do something like that, Joseph? It's a private grave, you know that, for the family. How you can bring strange body to our personal family grave? Joseph looked at her and said, don't worry, it's just for the weekend. He's risen. He's not there. The grave is empty.
Amen.
If you don't believe, come to Jerusalem and see. Our Lord is alive. Do you want to be used? I don't know which level you are standing. And you need to understand that the world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them and do nothing. That's the reason that God asking you to pray and to stand for the truth. Many of us, every night, we go to bed without any insurance of being alive the next morning, but still we set the alarm to wake up. That's called hope. You need to understand. I'm finishing with this. There is a huge difference. There is different between the desert and the promised land. There is different between life and blessed life. There is different between I'm okay or I'm more than conquered. There is different between make it and conquer it. There is different between existing and shining. There is different between speaking faith and bearing fruits. Maybe you tell me this morning, Pastor, but you don't know my situation. I am broken. Listen to me. God can do great things from broken pieces.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The will of God is more important than the brokenness of a human.
Amen.
Go home. Think which level you are standing. Please, I hope that many of you are not in the baby level, because it's a noisy and sometimes make us nervous. I'm praying that many of you will be in the second or the third or even the fourth. How? You need to spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
That's the only way. Read your Bible.
Amen.
Read your Bible. When you read your Bible, you will know how to stand against the enemy. Because I will tell you one something, because before you leave, also the devil knows your Bible. Also the devil knows your Bible. What I mean? He tried the Lord and his testimony in the wilderness from the Bible. But we know that if we know our Bible, we know how to answer it. And I believe that the devil is already done by the cross. When Jesus said, it's fulfilled.
Amen.
He finished the work.
Amen.
We are more than victories. Do you believe in that? I'm leaving you here, but I hope to think which level you are standing and to jump to the next one. And I'm praying that's, I hope that's maybe some of you was in the third or the fourth, and he's down to the second or the first. I don't know why, but the Lord is saying to you, I'll be with you again. I'll make you head and not the tail. I will bless you because I'm the Lord. God bless you and keep you.
So whether you're in Nazareth or in Oshawa, the message is the same. Go make disciples. Jesus didn't call us to make babies. He called us to make disciples. We have, as a leadership, been pressing the same message on the congregation over and over again. Thank you for telling us the same message from Nazareth. Maybe, just maybe, it's the truth. We want to recommend to you that Christ has called us to grow in the Lord. And in Ezekiel 47:5, it goes from ankles to knees to waist to swimming. We want to be believers who are swimming in the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit, and growing up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be used of Him and use our lives to reflect the glory of God, that people might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. So as we go through this conference, I trust that you would come back here. Let's soak in the Lord. Let's put aside these few days and other things that we have to do. And let's come back here tonight. Let's come back Monday night. Let's come back Tuesday night. Let's go from ankle to knee to waist to swimming. And let's start with this conference, shall we? Our Father and our God, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your patience with us. But we also, Lord, don't want to try your patience. So grow us up. Help us, Lord, to recognize that we don't grow automatically. There's effort, commitment, conviction, and the power of God's Spirit that moves in our hearts and lives. And I pray, Father, that we will take this message and receive it, that it might work in our life, and that you might cause us to move to another level. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen and amen.